We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds.
Folks, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and, of course, the Eurostep Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch. I am joined, as always, by the scholarly Rohan Kadi, who has a story. Rohan, how's it going?
You know, I'm doing well, Ty. It's funny that you tip off the story like that. But before I get into the story, make sure you guys subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you leave a 5-star rating wherever you can. Subscribe to the Substacks. Subscribe to the YouTube. Just, you know, subscribe to everything. Got to get the plugs in first. But I have a story for you, Ty. It's funny that you mentioned scholarly because this story is actually responsible for this podcast.
Oh, I've not heard this.
In its current state.
Do you mean the Eurostep or
the
conceit for this episode?
Let me just get it. So it's my freshman year of college, right? Undergrad. I have to take this calculus class. And I was like, I'm really upset that I have to take this calculus class because I don't want to. And it's not because I don't like math. I love math. But it's like this feels pointless. But I needed it for my degree. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go and take this calculus class. I sit there. I'm not paying attention to anything whatsoever. I do not pay attention at all. In fact, every class, because they take attendance, I made sure to go to every class, that I'm just on my phone, scrolling through stuff, reading articles. That's how I found
Is this a pit class?
That's how I found you.
Is this a pit class? Like a pit with like hundreds of...
No, there was like...
Oh, that's kind of ballsy to be on your phone for the whole class, in a 30-person class.
It was in like rows, though, so you couldn't really see. I was on my phone the entire... But I was discovering articles. I was discovering Behind the Buck Pass. I was reading yours, Ty's, Jordan's work. And I was like, oh, wait, let me start doing this. And then one thing led to another. And now we're here. But the point is, I was so bored during that class. I did not pay attention whatsoever. At the end of the class, I ended with a 104.
Oh, my God. Rohan, big brain flex.
Like, it sounds like an elite flex. I'm not trying to do that, but it fits the premise of this episode because I represent the Milwaukee Bucks in that story in the sense that I do not care about what happens on a day-to-day basis. But let me tell you, if a test arrives, I'm going to nail it. And that's what's been happening with the Milwaukee Bucks of recent. They've lost 5 out of 7 games now. The 2 wins that they have in those 7 games are against the Brooklyn Nets and against the Golden State Warriors, the 2 best teams of those 7.
By far.
What are we supposed to make of this time?
Well, I think there's a lot you can take away from it. I think your general point stands true. I think I also actually discovered Behind the Buck Pass while I was in a college class my freshman year. Or maybe it was my sophomore year. I think it was my sophomore year. But I found Adam's post on Reddit, which is a dark place that you should always be careful about frequenting. But it worked out in this scenario. So it's kind of funny we both have that in common. But I think there's so many different ways you can go with the Bucks. There's certainly an element of they are sleepwalking more or less through some games. I think they've had some bad matchups, especially with the Raptors and Hornets. who are four of their last like six losses, eight losses, something like that. Because the Raptors game was right before the Nets game, I think. And then they lost that. They lost two in a row to the Hornets. They lost to the Raptors again. Who else did they lose to? Was the Pistons one in there?
The Pistons.
Oh, my God.
It was the Pistons. They lost to the Pistons. They lost to the Raptors. Beat the Nets. Lost to the Hornets twice. Beat the Warriors and then lost to the Raptors again.
Yeah, so I do think there's it's a confounding factor. There's bad matchup juju in there. I think the Raptors, was it five straight now in the regular season? That was last night's. I didn't watch that game, thankfully for me. Or Saturday nights as we were last night as we record, probably two nights ago as you're listening to this. But I think there is legitimate bad matchup stuff there with them and with the Hornets. I also think those are teams that don't have the same aspirations, and you know, they take more joy in beating the reigning world champions than the Bucks would take in beating them. Although it disgusts me the Bucks don't go out of their way to beat the Raptors, if only so Bucks Twitter can have fun with it. Apparently they don't care about Twitter clout, which I don't know why you'd run a team and not care about Twitter clout. But
I mean, to be fair, like on Saturday they did tweet in the morning that they were playing the Hawks. And left it up for like an hour and a half before deleting it.
Did you see the Dante tweet I made fun of?
No, I didn't. Was it the not satisfied?
No, it's like, don't doubt Dante, or never doubt Dante. And it's his one made three. And it's like the emoji where it's like blushing with wide eyes. And I quote tweeted this morning with, this was the one shot in five tries Dante actually made, same emoji. We have to have a Dante. That's part of it. But the other thing is there's out so many players, and maybe not so many is the right word, but they're out two starters, and one of them they've been out since the first Brooklyn game. But
I don't even think we can count Brooke at this point.
I think we should. I mean, he started on the championship team. I know this version of the team never had him.
In terms of regular season games, like if we're saying, oh, they're missing Jrue Holiday.
That's two starters to me.
It is, but they're realistically only missing Jrue Holiday.
But I don't think that I actually don't think that's true, and I think that ties into the biggest issue in these five losses. The bench is horrible. The bench is atrocious because they're down that starter, Brook Lopez. They've been down all year. Bobby Portis is supposed to be the bench scorer, and he's not there. And he's done a really great job starting. He's been super important this year. Very impressive season. But he's no longer on the bench. Here's a stat I teased to you before we started recording. I think it's changing. I think now 67% of people are with me. 33% of people are sick of hearing about this. DeMarcus Cousins averaged like 9.1 points per game as a Milwaukee Buck. He would have led the bench in scoring in all but the Nets game. Every other game, he would have been the leading scorer coming off of the bench. And that's his average. Like, he had way higher scoring games than that. I think Rodney Hood scored 10 in the Nets game. And that was the only game anyone on the bench has scored more than 8 points through all of, like, seven games now, is it? Or six games since he was waived? I think it's seven. That's the issue. They have nothing coming off of the bench. And they have often, like the Raptors game, I know I read your great post on the Substack, Buck Stock Market, subscribe. gspn.substack.com. Oh, look, a hot start. Things are looking pretty good. Giannis goes out. Chris goes out. Nothing. Nothing is left. The guys who are coming in cannot consistently score the ball. And I think this is all tied together to, if Brook is healthy-ish, Bobby's coming off the bench, that's like double-digit bench points every game. And it's just like, that's why the Boogie thing sucked. You know, if they're healthy, it doesn't matter. They're not healthy. They've not been healthy literally at any point this entire year. And I get the urge to say, like, oh, Brook doesn't even count because they're not used to playing with him this year. They've never had him. I think it counts. Like, I think it matters a ton. And no matter how used you get to it, it's still such a huge loss that even though it's been going on for so long, and I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I just think that's the ripple effect of, like, you're down so much bench scoring that it's like, please, Rodney Hood, have yourself a game, because otherwise – there are 0 points coming from the Bucks bench.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, we're big fans of Big Rod here, but if you're relying on Rodney Hood to try and turn back the clock a little bit and just do anything, it's not going to lead to good results. And that's what we've been seeing. We've been hoping, and maybe we can just get into this now, that Dante DiVincenzo could be that kind of guy. Like, be like, okay, he's going to be a spark off the bench. And it just hasn't worked so far. He has no idea what he's doing on a basketball court 98% of the time. And it's just, it's hard to watch. Like, we're obviously rooting for Dante's success, rooting for Rodney Hood's success, but they just don't have it right now. And it's really, really disappointing to see. And this is something that we talked about before the season in terms of George Hill's addition. George Hill would be that guy coming off the bench, be like, okay, I can run a capable offense. I'm not going to be scoring the ball, but at least I can, you know, maintain ship here. If Drew Holiday's not there, George Hill's not going to be coming off the bench. So it's just like, what are we doing here? And again, Drew Holiday's been ruled out for Monday's game. We have no idea how long he's going to be out. The only indication, again, here we go with injuries again, but in terms of how do we know when Drew Holiday's going to return, it's the only thing the Bucks have said is it's more severe than we had initially thought, which is, you know, concerning. How long is this going to be a thing? Is George Hill going to need to be a starter? And what's left for the bench to do, yeah, realistically?
Remember how after the first like couple games, Dante was a plus minus god, even though the shot wasn't falling. And we were like, oh, has Dante, yes, reinvigorated the team, right? Like, has this addition? And Wes Matthews at the same time, very similar. They played together a lot in Wes's first few games. And I think we rushed to attribute it mostly to Dante. We were wrong. It was Wes Matthews who reinvigorated the team. So Dante is now down to like plus four net rating with the Bucks this season. But if you look at the last six games, of which Dante has played three, Wes has played all six of those, net rating still of plus 9.4 in the Bucks' last six games. Four losses. Like, they're still dominating when Wes plays. And you look at, it's like with Grayson, he's only played two of those, plus 20, Bobby plus 16, Chris plus 7, Giannis plus 6. This, again, it goes back to our point. When the good guys play, they're still good. They still win. Even they win those minutes. They don't win those games always, but they win those minutes. The last six games, Dante has played three of them. In those three games, you know what his net rating is? Or what the Bucks net rating with him on the floor? In 53 minutes, minus 25.2. They get obliterated when he plays right now because it's the team is much less deep. Remember, it was Drew and Bench. Drew's not there, so now it's just Bench. And Dante is like having to handle the ball. It's not going well. They're getting destroyed. They get destroyed when Shemi plays. They get destroyed when Mamu plays. Obviously, Langston Galloway. Even Pat, who Pat's been struggling a bit himself. And again, he's just not, for all the stuff Pat can do off the bench, he's not the traditional sixth man of the year candidate.
He's not a creator.
Yeah, we talked about this. He's not the Jordan Clarkson, Jamal Crawford type. And it turns out that type wins that award because that type is pretty useful to have coming off of the bench. The Bucks don't have one right now. And you can look at the net ratings up and down. It's like very stark. Jordan Warr is minus 3. He's kind of in the middle because he started some games. He starts some. He comes off the bench some. Javante Smart is somehow plus 3. He's gone. Doesn't really matter. Then you get like George Hill plus 4. Then all the rest of the starters. Drew at exactly 0. He played one 37-minute game in that span. I think, was that the Raptors game? Was that Boogie's last game? When he got hurt, I think, the old Raptors game? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that was his one game. But otherwise, it's like everyone on the bench over the last six has just gotten, like, lit the F up. And it's just like, this is why what's happening is happening. So I think your conceit is correct in that the test looks good. When they show up and they play only the good players, they're really good. But now it's like, okay, we've got to get to a point. We've got to get through the semester to take the test and have our test results be enough to give us an A+. And the Bucks are 0.5 games out of 6, I think, right now. So it's getting a little dicey on that front.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, you obviously want to have the best position possible for playoff seeding. Obviously, like, recent news is probably going to unfortunately help the Bucks in that regard. Zach LaVine is going to be missing time with a knee injury. Kevin Durant is going to be missing time with a knee injury. Thankfully, those are not severe.
That's what it looks like.
Well, I mean, KD's is an MCL sprain, which is what AD's been dealing with. Zach LaVine has no structural damage, so it could have been worse, and I'm glad it's not. So potentially your seeding is going to be helped out a little bit there, but also you're not going to be taking it as seriously as some of these teams. Like Toronto played a 6-man rotation.
Oh, wow!
In their second game, in the game on Saturday. That's ridiculous. Nick Nurse is trying to kill his guys out there. Like, that's off a back-to-back.
Nick Nurse is trying to keep his job out there.
Oof.
They'll tell you how much talent they have on that roster. How many times can you miss the play-in and have that much talent on the roster?
They'll definitely tell you.
They will. But I just think, like, does it matter that much if you host one series versus no series? Maybe. Maybe not.
I mean, you'd like to.
I think you'd like to host more than one, ideally, but I think the Bucks have the hardest or one of the hardest schedules over the rest of the way. Drew is not healthy and won't be very soon. No idea about Brooke Lopez. And they need to make a move, another move. Like, they need to find a way to bring somebody in, whether it's a trade, whether it's another hardship exception that's basically free. You know, the two-way move, getting Lendell Wigginton, sure. Lendell Wigginton is not the answer either, as good as he's played with the Herd this year. They're just going to need some more scoring punch.
What about Jeff Doughton Jr.?
He's got to be gone soon, right? Is Langston gone yet?
With the Herd. I think he's technically in protocol, so he can't be waived.
Oh, that's weird. We've seen the last of Langston Galloway anyway. But as a Buck, hopefully, I favor re-sign Langston Galloway. Not a fan anymore. But it's just going to get a little dicey here in these regular season games. And, you know, everyone talks about the goal is staying healthy and whatever happens, happens. It's very rare for a non-top four seed to win the championship for a reason. And some of the reason is, like, usually teams don't go through what the Bucks are going through this year. But I still think if you have to win four straight series on the road, that is a little brutal. I mean, I guess a lot of what matters is, you know, what the gauntlet is. I mean, if they slipped to four right now, it would be like a nightmare if everything else held firm. Going to Miami first round, going to Brooklyn second round, probably going to Chicago third round, or maybe, you know, the Cavs or the Sixers or whatever. Like, finishing six feels like a disaster if the Bulls do hold first. Like, having to go through Miami and Brooklyn in the second and – or the first and second round – or no, yeah, the first and second rounds, that's nightmarish. Like, I'm fine with four. I think four is okay. I mean,
they did it last year.
I know they did it last year. But they did it last year when – what was my – Miami was six and they were three, right? Yeah. I don't like it.
I mean, no, obviously I don't like it.
I think some people legitimately don't care at all. I don't like it.
No, obviously you don't want to be the sixth seed. Like, I don't know why that's... Whatever, we don't need to discuss that. Being the sixth seed is bad, okay? I'm sorry. If you're angry about it, tweet Todd.
Everyone will.
They always do. But... it's just like you just got to get through this regular season grind. And I get it's a balance. Obviously, you don't want to put guys in situations where they're going to get hurt because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You want them to be healthy for the postseason. We get that. We understand that. Trust me, we understand that. Don't you worry. But also, it matters, right? In terms of what you want to do, what your positioning is. You can't fall too out of line. And you also, you know, you want to get some run in with your core guys to see what you got, experiment a bit. That's what we saw a lot of last season. That's how they ended up winning the title. It's because they experimented with a bunch of different stuff. You want to see what kind of talent you have in your rotation.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, for all the sentiment, like you said, oh, they did beat Miami. They did beat Brooklyn before the conference finals. Like, they've shown they can win on the road in playoff series. I look at it as you just want – there's so much randomness – in any sport, and that's why that's like just an observed fact. Like, the better team doesn't always win. But I think you just want to give yourself every percentage point that you possibly can. And I think game seven at home versus on the road is one of those things where it's like, can you do it still Yeah, absolutely. You can. The Bucks have proved that. But that doesn't mean you should want to.
I don't know. Maybe against Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Oh, God, don't even get me started on the. Oh, should Brooklyn try to get be on the road more? They might. Honestly, the thing working in the Bucks' favor is with all these injuries, like the Nets and Bulls might start to fall as well. The Bulls have lost three straight. Actually, the Nets are on a one game winning streak. But like the Bulls without Zach for a while, that's going to be tough. They're down a few key players now too. I mean, the Nets just haven't had that many players who've been consistently good outside of KD. It might be a rough month for them, and they still play no defense. So maybe the Bucks and Nets will be like 4-5. Could you imagine Bucks Nets first round?
Oh my!
What goodness. A nightmare that would be.
Oh my goodness, that would be. If last season broke me, if last season series broke me, I don't know what that series would do to me.
But that's entirely possible.
It is.
That is totally possible.
I'm just imagining what kind of trauma my mind is going to go through.
One of the Sixers or Cavs sneaks above, so it's like Bulls, Heat, Sixers, Nets, Bucks, Cavs. Like, what a disgusting
bracket.
I might
just straight up start crying on the pod randomly. just after, even after a win, I'll just break down in tears while trying to do an intro or something.
Yeah, that is that's a lot to deal with. And it's like I said, it's just entirely possible. So I think looking ahead, and I guess we can pull up the schedule here and actually look ahead, but how do you think the Bucks are going to do over the next couple weeks? Because we've agreed, like the potential is still there. I don't think we have to spend too much time. Everyone's heard the stats when they have Chris Drew, Giannis, they're all on the floor. They win a lot of games. They win those minutes by a lot of points. We get that. So a lot of the other guys have showed up when necessary too. Some of the bench is obviously clearly way overtaxed. But these next few games here, it's going to get hard. How do you think they're actually going to look? And are you concerned about it? Even though we do agree, the overall ceiling of the team is still quite high.
I mean, like the upcoming schedule, realistically, it's mediocre, I'd say. Like, they play the Hawks, who stink now.
I was going to mention, looking at the standings to, like, figure this stuff out, Hawks-Pacers 12-13 still. And they're both on long losing streaks. The Hawks have lost five straight.
The Pacers have lost three straight. Game since November.
What the hell is going on? Like, I feel like, and I'm not trying to, like, deflect from the Bucks, who have also been disappointing. Neither of those teams should be that bad.
No. Hey, it's okay. The like, Hawks got a what? They have a first round pick to play with now, a heavily protected one.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And
yeah,
Kevin that's... Knox.
The Pacers 1-9 in their last 10.
I think
they
every
won...
single person on the Pacers wants to get traded, except and maybe even Malcolm Brogdon, even though he can't.
But he can't. Yeah. But do you know how many road games they've won this season?
The Pacers
in 19 tries. Yeah, 19 tries.
Oh God, like seven.
Three.
Oh God.
They're 3-16 on the road. Wow. Only the Pistons at 3-18 are worse. Even wilder. Maybe not, because they're a dog bleep team. The Magic are 2-15 at home. 6-21 on the road. Yeah, 2-15 on I don't they have a lot of home games coming up. Hopefully they can get a couple more wins there. They're also 8-36, which is a brutal record. Yeah, but okay, so you think it's not that tough. So Hawks, bad. Grizzlies, good. In Milwaukee, though. And I think here's a question. Oh, also, playback game. We'll be on playback for that. So get into the Discord by sending us a review on Apple, your Spotify review, and your 5-star rating on Spotify, or proof that you're subscribed to the Substack. Send to eurostatpod@gmail.com, and we will get you into the playback room. But that's a playback game, and we're very excited to host that on playback. Do you think the Bucks get up for the Grizzlies like they do for some of the other teams, or are they not there yet?
I think they'll probably get up for that game because they'll be forced to get up for that game because the Grizzlies are so electric.
Yeah.
It's like
– I hope so.
And they also recognize – like they're not idiots, right? They know that the Grizzlies are a good team.
They know that we're doing a playback as well.
They do. They want to make it entertaining.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay, so Hawks, Grizzlies at home, Bulls at home, which without Zach, we'll see on that game. But that should be fun. I was more looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Then they host the Kings, who are a joke. Then they go to Cleveland. That's hard. Darius Garland is making a better case right now for All-Star. They host the Knicks, who are bad.
No, they host the
Nuggets.
No, wait. The Knicks have actually been winning a bunch of games recently.
Are they all the way up to ninth?
I think so.
They're all the way up to 10th. No, they're bad. Get out of here, Rohan. They're in 10th.
In terms of recent play, they're not bad.
They're 7-3 in their last 10, which is pretty good.
Yeah, see?
The Bucks should win that game.
They host the Nuggets.
They host the Nuggets, who are bad outside of Nikola Jokic.
What does that make the Lakers?
Holding up at 6th, just bad. But then it's Wizards, who are not good. Blazers, who are a dumpster fire. Clippers, who have no players. Lakers, who are bad. Suns, who are good. That's a West Coast road trip, those four. Then they host the Blazers, who still stink. The Pacers, who still stink. The Sixers, who are always a joke, even when they're good. And then the Nets, who probably they should have KD by then.
Hopefully.
And then they host the Hornets, and that's February.
They might not have KD.
I agree. I think
it's 4 to 6 weeks with KD.
Yeah, so maybe not if they're being careful. Maybe that'll be his targeted return. But, really, you look ahead, and that's almost the rest of the schedule. They only have March and half of April after that, not even half. Yeah, it's pretty – honestly, it's pretty doable. I think I remember saying this when the schedule was announced. There's not really a murderer's row of games.
Yeah, it's just like it's hardest. A bunch of, like, decent teams mixed in with a bunch of jokes of teams.
The hardest run is Sixers, Nets, Hornets, Heat, Bulls, Suns. But 5 of the 6 games are at home.
Which is good. This team performs well at home when you're not there, so that's good.
Yeah, and I don't plan on being I might try to go to that Nets game. That would be, is that a weekend?
I don't know.
Can I blow up this Nets game? Anyway. Feb 26. Oh, that's a Saturday. That's an elite game. Yeah, but do we think they're going to win these games even if these teams aren't that hard is the question.
Maybe not. I don't – like realistically, I don't have confidence in saying they're going to win these games. Are they going to beat the Hawks? I have no idea if they're going to beat the Hawks. It seems like it's primed to be a Bucks loss considering that the Hawks have a string of home losses plus like they know – or maybe not. Maybe they'll wake up, realize, oh shoot, we played this team in the conference finals. We'll get back into that.
Yeah, I think they might get up for that.
Yeah. They might try to embarrass Trae Young. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe like Bobby can do the shrug or something fun like that.
Maybe he'll shimmy.
My answer is kind of just like they're gonna start winning again when they get Drew back, because I do think when Bud can stagger Chris and Giannis and the Drew plus bench, it raises the floor of this team by so much. And right now, it's just like it's just going to be tenuous every time Chris and or Giannis sit. There's just not going to be enough out there. And teams are going to double and aggressively trap Chris actions. And it's just hard for the Bucks to do much about that, especially in the non-Giannis minutes when Drew is not healthy. So, I mean, hopefully we can get Grayson's been stepping up more from Grayson, more offensive load on Grayson, not just finishing plays, maybe initiating more plays will be necessary. This is a big opportunity for him because, as you said, as we covered, clearly Dante is not a point guard, a sixth man, none of that stuff. Right now does not even seem to be a helpful NBA player.
He's made one two-point shot. Defensively, he's been all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Everything else has been a train wreck.
I don't disagree, but I'm just trying to like.
I know.
Because we've been accused of being haters in the past, so got to get the full angle.
And when have we been wrong about someone that we hated on, or we were alleged of hating?
Wrong in general. Don't check the facts.
Not once. Not a single time.
But no. Should we talk about Dante a little bit more?
I don't know how much more I have. How many more ways I can say it?
Just bad.
Actually, yeah.
Okay, I guess we're done.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it would be great if he got it all together. I do think this is not ideal for the idea of trading Dante, because I don't know what team is watching. And like, yeah, I want to pay this guy in 5 months. Hell yeah, sign me up.
I don't know what Dante thinks of it and Dante's agent.
I mean, I assume they're just like, we just gotta, he just needs more minutes. He's just still rusty. We just need more minutes. And maybe, I mean, I'm sure that that'll probably help to some extent, but it's, we just, we don't have an extended sample of him like actually finishing twos or actually being a true combo guard and not just like a wing who handles the ball too often because that's what the team asked for him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. So, okay. That's it on Dante. Just buns right now. But you're right. Grayson needs to step up a bit. There needs to be more stuff run for him. Here's the thing, though. You don't want him really initiating a ton of stuff because that's just not who he is. He's more of a secondary guy. He's going to, like, make decisions off the catch.
Yeah, but I think when Chris and Giannis are sitting, if they both sit together, who is better than him with the ball in their hands?
Bobby Portis.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Kind of. I mean, I would like Grayson, Bobby pick and roll would be my answer to that.
Yes. No, I
use them together.
I don't disagree because Bobby with the ball on his hand.
If you want Bobby. Yeah, or Bobby Grayson THOs could be good. I think you're just going to need a lot of stuff like that. Like our great conversation with Brad Fisher about coaching and Bud, you know, the Bucks love their motion. I think they're going to need to turn in some more scripted stuff in these bench minutes just because these guys are not flowing the right ways and they're just not good enough, it seems like, to work that way. Like I just think they're going to need to just be more active in running stuff to try and find some advantages. Because the way they've been, it's just bad. It's just really bad. There's no points coming from these guys.
When does Boogie's 10-day end with the Nuggets?
Has he even played?
No.
What the hell?
He hasn't played.
Did the Bucks and Nuggets work out a deal? Like, we need to save 15 days of money. Like, can you just hold him for 10 days and then we'll scoop him up?
I don't know. John Horst said that there's nothing about them, nothing holding them back from partnering up in the future, so.
Let's look.
I think he signed it maybe like 8 days ago, 9 days ago.
I just never know. Looks 8 days ago? January 8th?
Yeah, 8 days.
It looks like.
So it should be up in 2 days.
2 days? It would be a godsend, dude. It would legitimately be a godsend to this team as long as Brooke and Drew. And I mean, as long as Brooke is out, but especially as long as both of them are out. Hopefully they're not both out for longer than the next couple days. Drew at least another day or so at very minimum. Just stinks.
It does just stink. Just this team, the vibes are off right now.
I think they need like one and Boogie, it would help. I do think it shows you that while having George is nice and I still think he's helpful and the team's performance with him on reflects that. They could use another guard initiator, even when Drew is healthy. And that was our takeaway. A lot of old pod plugging. Go listen to the last couple of pods. They're good, promise. Our takeaway, though, was even when everyone is healthy, that bench is still a little light on scoring, especially from the guard positions. And I think that's where, you know, if Dante could, like, snap into it and be good, that'd be a huge relief. But he's just not that guy right now, and they need somebody. So, you know, everyone is fawning over Mo Bamba on the Orlando Magic. Terrence Ross would be incredible coming off the bench on this team. Was it like 10?
I think it's more than that.
Oh, is it really? Oh, my God. But, yeah, so that's – yeah, so then, like, you're not going to trade Brook Lopez for Terrence Ross. But someone like that, like, I don't know who would be around the league. And he's probably not getting bought out. I think he's too useful. 12.5, and he's got another year. So, yeah.
Yeah, maybe John but that would be a favor, though.
Buys out 2 years of Terrence Ross.
I mean, he did get an extension, so he does have that job security.
He does indeed. Shout out to Franz Wagner for getting John Hammond an extension like by himself.
Yeah. Shout out to Franz Wagner. Or maybe not. What's the opposite of a shout out? Boo?
Are you booing Franz?
Boo to Franz Wagner, like, for letting Mo Wagner still be in the league.
Oh, yeah. He deserves that. That's why I don't even hate the interest in Dennis Schroeder I've seen people have.
Yeah.
I think some of the trades I've seen proposed are terrible. But, like, right now, Dennis Schroeder would be super helpful. Like, they just need a guard who can do something with the ball in their hands consistently. And whether George can or not, he doesn't. He's not. He is not doing that. Dennis dominates the ball too much. I think when Drew is healthy, you probably barely play him. But, like, right now, he'd be really helpful, and a better version of that would be helpful, like, all the time, even when Drew is healthy.
No, I agree. I'm not a Dennis Schroeder fan. What's Jeff
Teague? No, I mean, I'm not either. Being bad at basketball somewhere else?
Bring him back. Why not?
Oh, is he overseas? Oh, he's probably not overseas. Honestly, I'm really surprised he has not gotten a call.
Yeah, honestly. Maybe he's like Wes Matthews. He's just waiting for the Bucks to send him a call.
Do you know he's averaging 10 points per game in 18 minutes this year?
Who?
Brandon Knight.
Hey, is he on a roster?
I think he was on Dallas. Shooting 71% from two, 30% from three. Two rebounds, nearly three assists.
What's 1.3 turnovers. Doing?
Same thing as Jeff Teague, I think.
Except he's more active on Twitter.
Yeah, and more active within the Bucks organization.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a rule against signing graphic designers as players. Maybe that's like
Brandon
double
Jennings come on the pod.
Sure, why not? One of the Brandons play for the team and help them.
Yeah, but I think that's just like that's the state where we're at right now. Like, did you answer the question? Like, do you have faith in this team, like beating these teams going forward?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Without Drew, no. Without Drew, zero. Because you just can't win if you have 4 to 5 useful players every night, and that's just about where they're at. And I think if Pat's hitting his stride more, you're probably closer to like 6 or 7, but you're so lacking in some positions. Like Mamu, and I want to clear the record on Mamu. People think I'm low on Mamu because I correctly continue to state and almost insist at this point, he's not ready for this. He's not a rotation level NBA player. He's not. I think I really liked what I've seen. Honestly, a hot take, Mamu might be closer to being that than Jordan Wara, because I think the things that Mamu is deficient at are shooting, which he's clearly working on, and some nights it's good, but over the season it's not. And strength. We've talked about this. He's not strong enough. He gets bullied. People score over him. If he can't get his hand on the ball, it's a wrap. But his athleticism is good. I think his decision-making is pretty good, but he gets a little rattled sometimes. He moves well. He's a good passer. If he got a little bit stronger and his shot fell, I think he'd be a very good backup center, but he's not there right now. And again, he's the 54th overall pick, was just selected on a two-way contract. It's silly to expect him to be an every night player. He's not. They're asking him to be. It's not going well. Same with Shemi, who does not have those same justifications. He just sucks. And Dante has not been good coming back off injury. And that's like, you have to play all, they don't play Shemi anymore, but you have to play these guys every night and it's a disaster. And George Hill is not able to consist. Like, George Hill is not a 10-5 guy anymore. It'd be great if he was. He's not. It's just bad. So I think they're lacking in so many key areas that without Drew, it's like, yeah, it's kind of a mess. And, you know, I don't think they're going to lose like five in a row, but it wouldn't surprise me if they continue on this, like, you know, they win one out of every two or three as long as Drew is out. Unless, like I said, Dante can turn the corner. Maybe Big Rod. Big Rod seems closer to turning the corner than Dante. But they just need more from that bench, and they just don't have it right now.
The problem with all of this is that there's one guy on the bench. You would think like, oh, yeah, we can get some instant offense out of him. The problem is he does everything else wrong, and that's Jordan Wara. Let's talk about Jordan Wara. Let's wrap, like you said. Let's wrap with the talk on Jordan Wara. I know you didn't watch the entirety of the Raptors game. He played less than 5 minutes. I think it was 4 minutes, 40 seconds to be exact. And it was that quick intentionally, considering that Mike Budenholzer took him out at the least possible amount of time for him on the court as possible, considering in successive possessions, he just missed some digs on Fred VanVleet. Fred VanVleet passing lanes. There was just a lot of defensive miscues. He didn't even take a shot, which was weird. For Jordan Wara.
Super weird for him, like, of all players.
Yeah, if he's playing 5 minutes and not taking a shot, it's like, what's going on here? You'd think he'd have at least 10 attempts in that amount of time. But that's the issue. Like, that offense is much needed right now, but it's just not playable considering how bad everything else is. And like, I don't know. We have such a large sample at this point. I don't know if he's ever going to really put it together.
Yeah, this is why I said I think I see Mamu is potentially having a clear pathway to being a legit rotational player, just because I just think Jordan, it's this kind of stuff where certainly the Bucks have been trying to, through coaching and player development, get him more ready to play a real rotational role. Obviously, that's the goal with every player on the team, every young player on the team at least. And it just is not working. Like, the same issues continue to crop up. And I think the tough part for him is the scoring ability is obviously there, as you alluded to, you said, but it's more so there when he's able to play 30 minutes and take 20 shots or 18 shots or whatever, than when he plays 15 minutes and is supposed to take whatever, you know, 8 shots, whatever it is, that usually doesn't happen. And that's an issue. And that's the difference between a guy like Jordan Wara and the, you know, sixth men of the world, the Jamal Crawfords and Jordan Clarksons
Lou Will,
all those guys, is, you know, any usage, they're just ready to go in and do it. And also the other big difference is ball handling, right? Like, Jordan can't really initiate. We've seen this. Jordan Wara, not Jordan Clarkson. And it's just problematic, but
Jordan Clarkson's looked iffy too.
Yeah, I think he'd look great on the Bucks. I'll tell you that. I think by comparison, he'd look really good here. But Warwick, who can't really initiate offense, who struggles defensively, who has Bismack Biyombo level stone hands, or maybe I should say Bobby Portis, the way he's lost some transition balls recently. But no shade to Bobby though. He's been really good in almost everything. Defense and catching the ball are kind of important though. But it's just Wara, just, you know, the way I always describe him is just inconsistent. He's consistently inconsistent, and that's a problem. And I think you look at this team that, again, as you alluded to, desperate for bench scoring. There's nothing. DeMarcus Cousins leaves, and there's nothing. That's an alarming place to be, and they're still not playing Wara just because you just can't afford to. Like, they lose his minutes by a lot recently because he's not in the right places on defense, and he just loses the ball entirely, and he takes really bad shots. Like, even for a good shot maker, he takes atrocious shots. And not to get all the way back to Dante, Dante also takes some real – who told Dante he should pull up the logo with 18 seconds on the shot clock? It's a terrible idea.
Step back one-legged.
Or practice
that shot?
Or not even pull up.
When?
He does – exactly. He'll do – even catch and shoot. Like, he gets the ball, like, 5 feet behind the arc – like, straight on. And it's like, that's clearly, you're supposed to like flow into a screen or something. And he's like, oh, no one's covering me here, I'll just shoot. No one's covering that you there because you're shooting like 20%, because that's because
you're not Steph
that's
Curry.
Not your shot. Like, you're not Chris Middleton either. And it's like frustrating. But yeah, that's the,
when does Chris take that shot?
Chris takes some bold shots.
He doesn't take logo threes off the bounce.
No, this is off the catch. I think he probably okay. would. Whatever. He's regardless of if Chris does or not. If Chris Chris takes, you're not mad. It's just like, okay, yeah, you're Chris Middleton. Take a three. We're not there with Dante. And we're not there with Jordan. And some of the twos are even worse. Like, he'll take eight. He's the king of the 18-footers some nights when he plays enough. And it's just like, man, like, he's just not – he's fitting out. He's not fitting in, to quote LeBron James. And it's just – it's very problematic. It's very alarming that they're dying for bench scoring and he's still not consistently getting minutes in this year of all years.
It's just – When are we going to see this? When are we going to see it put together? Like, I know Drew Holiday earlier in the season called him Baby Chris. Maybe he took a little bit of the inconsistencies too far. A little too far there.
Yeah. It's not the greatest comp in Drew Holiday's take history. I assume maybe he's bad at takes. But one of the few things he seems to be bad at.
What Drew Holiday takes have we ever
That's what
seen
I'm saying. I don't know. That? I don't know the history, but it's possible he's not good at takes.
Notoriously quiet person, Drew Holiday.
Well,
except if he's getting deals, like brand deals, yeah. Then he's going to be as loud as possible.
Buck for life. Hopefully that one ages well.
Yeah, like he's going to be doing grill ads. He's going to be doing shooting sleeve ads. Whatever ad you need, Drew Holiday's your guy. Like
Should we hit him up?
He's a king of securing the bank. Yeah.
Eurostep
ad? You think he'll promote the Eurostep?
I think if you pay enough, yes. I don't know if we can afford him.
Can we? What's Drew Holiday? What's
is he on? Is he on Canva? Is he one of the bucks on Canva when we look this up?
Cameo.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Wrong thing. I literally say that every time.
If he's on Cameo, can we just ask?
Because the business rates are crazy on Cameo. He's not.
Like Pat's like, what, $400?
Yeah, but that honestly, the more I think about it, the more I want to do that. Oh, God, no, I wish. Dude, it's $1,200.
For Pat?
For business, yeah. Personal use, $100.
$1,200?
Do you think we could finesse this and say it's personal?
Absolutely.
Like, what if I turn in like...
Pat's going to buy my building in a victory.
To Rohan from Ty.
Again.
Ty just wanted to let you know... He's so appreciative of all the great podcasts you guys have recorded together on the Eurostep Podcast Network, available on all platforms, YouTube and Substack. And a happy
subscribe to GSP
happy 3-year anniversary of the pod existing. This is a personal message, but everyone listening should subscribe. Thanks, Pat. I think no way.
There's no way.
He's a bag chaser. There's no way he's falling for that.
Did you see that desk picture? You know what I'm talking about?
The bobblehead one?
Yeah, the bobblehead one.
With what is it? Who is it? He's an owner bobblehead?
Peter Fagan.
That's insane.
Three-leaf development goes hard, you know.
Apparently it does. Hopefully it goes real hard and Pat does not have business intentions in free agency this year. But circling back to Jordan Wara, you ask, you know, when are we going to see it? We might see it on a different team. He's a free agent. And are the Bucks going to go deeper into the tax to secure Jordan Wara after what we've seen? How much is potential worth?
No.
On a 23-year-old? I guess we're going to find out.
I mean, based on the Bucks history, nothing.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah.
Sterling Brown.
Christian Wood, DJ Wilson.
Not even Sterling Brown. Yeah. Like, Sterling's the best one out of those.
The Raptors people are obsessed with DJ Wilson now.
Yeah, well, he was also just bad.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's
like the tools were there.
I see this tweet. How did Milwaukee let him go? Because he stunk.
Because
he was
bad.
Terrible as a Buck. That's why.
He hasn't been in Milwaukee in like 3 years.
Because he's shooting
all, but...
77 or whatever percent from two in the first few Raptors games. And he shot 39% or whatever, 41% from two in 3 years. This way he wasn't good. He played like hundreds of minutes. They were just all bad.
He was not good as I'm happy that he succeeded.
Yeah, sure. I'm kind of indifferent. I don't care that much.
Heartless tie.
Well, I don't have a personal connection with DJ Wilson. I interviewed him once or twice. Not the greatest interviews of my life, but I'm not holding anything against him. It's just like, I don't know. Do you have good Bucks memories with DJ Wilson? I just feel like it's just like such a classic thing to say every time a random player leaves. Like, oh, I'm happy. It's fine. I'm not more happy than I am for any journeyman NBA player who's like finding a role. It doesn't move me. I don't know. I don't care that much. I mean, it's nice. It's nice. Doesn't move me. What? I just feel like I'm saying the quiet part out loud. I just think a lot of people.
I just said I'm happy for DJ Wilson's success.
Yeah, I'm not there. It's nice.
You can't. You're not, even that. It's nice is just so forced.
It is. It's like this thing. Like you have to be happy.
No. You saying it's nice is forced. It like is. You don't want to say it's nice.
I think it's fine. I'll say fine. That's my favorite word. It's fine. It's cool.
Thanks, bud.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's not compelling to me at all. Is this a cold? Is this heartless? Does everyone listening going, oh no. Thank God DJ Wilson is finding an NBA home. I was concerned.
It's good to see.
Is it? Does it matter?
In terms of the Bucks, no, it does not matter. In just terms of having a heart, yes.
I don't know. I don't want to go too far into this. I feel like, you know, if we heard, you know, DJ Wilson putting in work, extra work after practice and really grinding and, you know, the greatest guy and everyone in the locker room loves him, I'd be like, oh, hell yeah, let's go. I feel like we heard nothing. He was just there. He was there for 3 years, didn't play well. Now he's not there. Maybe those things were true and we just didn't hear about it. Maybe I am the asshole. But I don't know. I just it's I'm mostly indifferent. Happy for Sterling. Meh on DJ.
Sterling he hasn't had a great run of success reason.
But I mean still. That's the other part of it too. I mean what? DJ Wilson got like at least $12 million for being a Milwaukee Buck and not doing a whole lot for 4 years. Like he's fine. He's okay.
I mean, all of these guys are fine in that regard.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, okay, like he's not out on the streets. I mean, free agency people say that. I don't know. This might have to be a Twitter poll this week. Are you happy? Yeah, are you happy? Are you happy to seeing DJ Wilson succeed? And I won't even say in Toronto because I think that would make people vote no because they don't want to see him succeeding in Toronto. Which I think is
you could just say, do you find happiness in seeing former Bucks succeed?
No. It's specific. It's again, it's not all. I'm not against players leaving the team and succeeding. It depends on the player. So I want to know for DJ in particular how people feel. We can do a series. We can okay, ask. How do you feel about Christian Wood succeeding outside of Milwaukee?
How do I feel? I'm happy.
Pretty happy.
He got what he wanted.
Pretty happy. He did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty happy for C. Wood.
We'll ask our guest on Wednesday how he feels about DJ Wilson.
That'd be interesting. I feel like it'll be a political answer. Anyway, okay. We're way too long talking about how we feel about DJ Wilson therapy. This is crazy.
Hey, all I'm saying is I'm happy for other people's success.
Oh, no. Now you're making me a hater. I'm not rooting.
That's what you're doing.
I'm not rooting against him. It's complete indifference. It's a cold, hard world out there.
We'll let the people decide.
Maybe yeah, we'll have to let the people decide. But I want to make it clear, I'm not hating. Just don't care. It's different.
I'm just spewing hate, but I'm not.
How is that hate?
Don't worry.
So that's.
He wasn't the greatest interview.
That's facts. It's an unfair standard. If you're not gushing love, that's hate. That is how Twitter operates. So I don't like that you're playing into this.
I'm not gushing love right now for DJ Wilson.
Being indifferent is not hate. That we have a different word for that. It's being indifferent.
I know, but it's like you're not being indifferent.
How am I not? What's the negativity?
You're just being so negative.
Where's the negativity?
The tone.
I think that's a reach.
Nah.
You're fake news.
We'll let the people decide.
Yeah, we'll let the people decide.
We'll let the people decide. And we should probably.
When we get into arguments about how specifically we should feel about DJ Wilson no longer on the Bucks. Yeah, I think that's a good – it's time to wrap signal.
Yeah. Let us know, though. Let us know on Twitter. But thank you all for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. If you did enjoy the show, make sure you leave a 5-star rating, Apple, Spotify review. Make sure you subscribe. Ty, let's read out a review here.
Let's do it. Our friend from Sprecher, T-Cycle Tim, via Apple Podcasts, leaves a 5-star review titled "Great Taste in Basketball and Root Beer." Which is true. The review. My go-to resource for all things Milwaukee Bucks, in parentheses, make sure you subscribe to the GSPN Substack to get the Bucks stock market, end parentheses. And they have amazing taste in beer and root beer. Enjoy a Sprecher with this podcast. You should do that. You should enjoy a Sprecher with this podcast. And shout out Tim. Oh, GSPN. Promo code GSPN. 10% off. Sprecher ordered online. The packs. But shout out Tim recognizing the glory of Bucks stock market posts on the Substack.
No, yeah, for sure. That's above and beyond. Thank you, Tim. And shout out Sprecher.
Yeah.
Great product. Like
our the homies. Alcohol. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
It's good stuff. It like, we're not just saying.
No, we would never. We endorse purposefully.
Yeah. We're not going to endorse something we don't like.
Yeah.
And we do like Sprecher.
Sprecher. Sounded like you said Strecker.
I meant that just might
which
be.
Which is a hilarious. we personally love it. Strecker ale, root beer is tremendous. No, I'm kidding. Rohan and I, we've both been drinking Sprecher. We both really do like it. But that was just a hilarious timing.
Listen, okay? I mess up my words.
It happens. It happens. It's all good.
It happens to professional podcasters as seen right now. Go Bucks, and we will talk to you next time.